You're listening to the Choose to Be podcast with hosts Alana Gordon and Amy Woolsey. As you join us each week, we will provide you with tools, resources, and knowledge to help you navigate your healing journey. Choose recovery, choose healing, choose you.
Welcome to the Choose to Be podcast. Thank you, everyone, for joining our conversation today. We're happy that you are here. We are happy to be here. You're in the middle of the holiday season, and Alana and I were talking about how it can be really difficult to find the balance, of those things that need to get done during this season. And then also, you hear us say it all the time, slow down and do less. I know that figuring out when to slow down and do less and when things just absolutely have to get done can be really confusing, can add even more stress because you're trying to figure that out. We're going to talk about that today and maybe give a little bit of guidance, tips, thoughts to help you determine for yourself what that looks like. And Alana, I think this is going to be a short one because for me, when I think about this, it really does come down to, I think, looking inside yourself and determining for yourself what is important and necessary and what isn't. I think sometimes we're influenced by external stories, people, ads, Target, over what is important and what has to be done and given and wrapped and all the things versus what you really feel like needs to be done. And so I think just the first thing I would offer is really start identifying what is internally important to you and what externally is being told should be important to you.
Okay, so this is where my brain goes. I love that you started here because I have a few clients who have some pretty deeply embedded core beliefs or cognitive distortions around, I have to do it all. I have to be it all. If it's related to my kids, then no matter what, it is important because my kids are important. And so I've had clients come into session and we're talking about like, okay, what can we just allow to set aside? And the way that their brains can justify not setting anything aside is a skill. And so really, that can be really hard when we tie. And we have an episode on this of like, I'll go to the motherhood one of like tying our worth to our children and to the role of motherhood. Because if we're tying this busyness of, I have to keep all of these people happy, I have to keep my kids happy, I can't ruin the holidays. Like there's all of these pressures that come with what we need to do and have to do. So I don't know, like I'm thinking out loud here, but maybe even figuring out what all of those pressures are. This is where I think it's really beneficial to have another brain, because the ways my brain can spin around things and keep me stuck is pretty talented.
Well, for sure. I'll speak for myself, but I did not realize how much I was putting myself in the center of everything and everybody. It was like, well, that can't happen unless I blank. And that can't happen. We can't have Christmas dinner unless I cook it. We can't do that thing unless I do this. And so I'm putting myself in the center of everybody's life, thinking that that's my role, that's my job, that's what they want. And I will tell you, divorce shifted all of that for me. And something you said, I mentioned this in my divorce podcast with the holiday one and kids, but I think it's so worth saying here, because like you were mentioning those traditions that feel so important, like in our roots, we cannot not do this thing. I really just want to challenge each of you to bring those traditions to like your kids. Just lay them out. Here's all the traditions that we do. Maybe write them out. Ask them what they think those traditions are. And then ask them which ones they like, which ones matter to them, which ones they could do without. But I think you'd be surprised through the traditions that you think they have to have or are really passionate about. I know that was a shock for me. I was like, what? We do that every year. Well, yeah, mom, because you do it. So I think that alone can be a really eye-opening experience.
Trauma has a way of simplifying life.
Yeah.
And you might respond to that of like, oh, hell no, it doesn't. My life is so much more complicated. But what I mean by that is it simplifies what is really important. Like the amount of stuff people cut out. I lived somewhere at one point and the neighbors were talking about one neighbor who was super involved. And then they said, one day out of the blue, this neighbor just disappeared. Like they still live there, but we don't hear from them. We don't see them. And instantly in my brain, I was like, well, I can bet money. I know a little bit what's going on, but I don't. All I know is there's a good chance that some kind of trauma happened for them and that they had to pull back and simplify. And surprise, surprise, neighbors might not be high on the list of we're going to let in our bubble. And that's a good process. Simplifying when all of our internal world is so chaotic, the more things on our external world that we can simplify, the better.
It's so true. Just even when I left, we just had a couple boxes and in that apartment, just very, very few things. And the simplicity of that, I mean, I didn't intend for that to happen. I wasn't like trying to simplify, but it was one of those blessings in disguise where I realized how much space it was allowing me to breathe and to calm down because there wasn't so much that my brain told me you have to do, you have to organize, you have to have. So you're so right. That simplicity is, it's healing. It frees up space to do some of that beautiful work. So that would be the first thing I would say is just really start determining for yourself what things are necessary to hold on to just this year. And that would probably be my second tip is let's just take it this year at a time. If you're like, okay, we're not going to put the lights up on the whole entire house and nativity in the front yard and all the things, that's just this year. We won't worry about next year. Sometimes I think if we don't do something this year, then it's all forgotten and lost years ahead. Just take it this year.
Well, I love that you said that. The first year of decorating our Christmas tree, I couldn't do it. Like I sat by the tree. I was trying not to cry. I desperately, like in my head, I'm like, get up and do it. Get up and do it. I could not do it. Mm-hmm. Then my brain goes, see, I'm traumatizing my kids. My kids are going to remember this, that year that we couldn't even do a Christmas tree together. I don't think my kids even remember. And it's been 10 years. If I said, do you remember the year I didn't put up the Christmas tree with you? I don't think any of them would remember because we have all of these other memories since then and before then. But my brain was so caught up in this year has to look the same as every other year. And it does.
It really doesn't. That's all I got.
Okay. I have another thought. This is a little more rare, but I do have this too. Is sometimes I'll have clients who are fully embracing the slowing down and honoring themselves, which is wonderful. But then they almost pendulum swing to the other side and they stay in bed all day, multiple days, multiple weeks. And they only get up if they absolutely have to. And sometimes it can even be scary for people who are usually fairly productive. And we say slow down. That's what their brain goes to is like, you want me just to now lay around all day? And I want to just highlight that there is this balance. Laying in bed all day, thinking about your trauma all day long, 24 hours a day, is not good for you. We shouldn't be doing that. I just gave a client the assignment the other day. I said, because right now it's 100% of the day. And I said, okay, we're going to take 2 hours of your day where we are taking a vacation from our problems. Like you can't, I know, a little bit of what about Bob for my older folks there, but for those 2 hours, you just tell your brain, I'm going to address this at 5. I'm going to address this at 5. And we are going to start giving your brain a break. Because if we stay in that so long and so much, especially if we're not moving our bodies, because part of moving through trauma and moving through feelings does include moving our bodies. So what I want to do is highlight those two extremes, this extreme of I'm shutting down and I'm doing absolutely nothing. And then the other extreme of I can't slow down. I have to, I have to, I have to. And finding that middle balance for you of what that looks like. Healthy individuals rest regularly every day.
I love that. I think that's so important. And that we do see that a lot, one side of the pendulum or not. And it's all coping. We either overcompensate or under. So again, finding that balance means taking a look inside and really determining what is absolutely necessary and finding someone, whether it's professional or just someone that you trust to be honest with you, but also safe to help guide you with that balance. Because even if it's letting go of some of those things that are fun and have always been there, if you are not on one extreme or the other, you will be able to show up. You will be able to show up for your family, for your children, for yourself in a much more grounded, stable way. And that's what, if we're talking about kids, that's what they remember. They will remember that we went and got a Charlie Brown Christmas tree that was super tiny and put those cheap Dollar General glass bulbs on for our first Christmas. And that we went and had ice cream after. They're not remembering that, they're not feeling like the grief and the pain of not having our normal tree because I'm laying in bed sad and depressed about it. It's, yeah, that's really sad. That's really hard, but we're going to go make the best of it. We're going to go find something else. And my energy guided them. So you have a lot more control in the influence over this holiday season than I think you're giving yourself credit for too. Ultimately, you are in charge of your own experience, but you can provide that influence when we're not on such an extreme either side.
Yeah, I don't even know what to add on top of that. Be gentle with yourself. Have grace. Be kind. Remember that it's okay where you're at. It might not feel okay. It might not look okay, but it's okay and you'll be okay. Even you sitting here listening to this podcast, how many times have I said this, but you listening to this podcast of learning and growing shows that you're healing. Let that build that self-trust and keep going.
I can put this right before what you just said because it's a beautiful way to end and wrap up. But one thing that just popped in my mind too is I'll speak from my own experience. When I allowed people to help, when I allowed other safe people in to help me, it did help me find that balance. Whether that was letting my mom come bring dinner a couple nights a week or accepting gifts that were given to my children when I couldn't provide, being vulnerable and answering their text messages of what are your kids like? It was so hard for me. I wanted to go to the other extreme and pretend like we don't need any help. We're totally fine. Mainly because of embarrassment, asking for that help, accepting people's kindness brought me into a balance. And so that's something to consider also is it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to receive help. That can help you.
That, yeah, beautifully put. All right. Well, thank you for being with us today. We send you lots of love and lots of support during the holidays and all year long. Maybe if you're listening to this later in the year, but sending lots of love, lots of support. Remember that you have done hard. You're in the middle of hard and you can do hard things. And as always, we look forward to seeing you next week.
I've discovered along my own journey that to be able to practice that balance in life, I first had to find inner balance, inner connection, and intimacy with myself. Creating intimacy within is where you start and what cultivates healthy, intimate relationships with others. That's why I created the self-paced course, Intimacy Within, where I walk you through those 7 levels of intimacy. You'll have worksheets along the way to guide you. And the best part is you can take the time that you need to really practice the tools that I offer you in these recorded sessions. You can find the link in the show notes and can start your journey back towards you today. Because it's all about choosing recovery, choosing to heal, and choosing you. Take care of you.